No comprehensive study exists on mechanical thrombectomy accessibility for patients admitted to a primary stroke centre without on-site intervention. No comprehensive study exists on mechanical thrombectomy accessibility for patients admitted to a primary stroke centre without on-site interventional radiology services. My name is Carmen Nave Jenkins, and I'm the managing editor of the International Journal of Stroke. And I spoke to Dr. Denis Sablon from the Centre Hospitalier de Perpignan, Neurology in France, and submitting author of Thrombectomy Accessibility After Transfer from a Primary Stroke Centre, an analysis of a 3-year prospective registry. This article is available online at the International Journal of Stroke website, which is hosted by the publisher Sage.
Thank you very much. I'm Dr. Sablon, and I work in a primary stroke centre in Perpignan, in the south of France.
So you claim that no comprehensive study exists for mechanical thrombectomy accessibility for patients admitted to a primary stroke centre without on-site intervention neuroradiology service. So why is this important?
Since we have had positive results about thrombectomy, we can see a new pattern has emerged. The question is no longer whether thrombectomy is effective. The problem we face is the accessibility for patients to comprehensive stroke centers. Our particular primary and comprehensive stroke centers are 156 kilometers apart. Our primary stroke center is a big volume one with more than 130 thrombolyses per year. Most studies focus on patients who have already been treated. Inversely, we focused on patients who had an initial indication of thrombectomy in a distant primary stroke center, and we followed their path to assess the accessibility to the treatment.
So what did accessibility to mechanical thrombectomy look like within your testing time frame from a primary to a comprehensive center?
This accessibility was extremely reduced. Firstly, patients who are admitted between 4.5 to 6 hours can absolutely not benefit from a mechanical thrombectomy given the transfer times. These patients were not even collected because we know the time lapse is too great. Secondly, for the other patients admitted within the 4.5 time window, this accessibility was extremely reduced in both a quantitative and qualitative way. First of all, the quantitative results, only 1/4 could benefit from thrombectomy gesture, and only 18% were recognized with this thrombectomy, 25% and 18% only. Second of all, the main qualitative result is the extremely delayed time from symptom onset to reperfusion. Median time was about 7 hours after the onset of symptoms and 3 hours after thrombolysis. However, our treated patients beyond the 6-time window were mostly selected on the basis of collateral blood flow and a diffusion-perfusion mismatch. Therefore, patients finally treated with mechanical thrombectomy might represent a low progressor subgroup who could benefit from delayed reperfusion at a distant comprehensive stroke center.
So where did the data come from?
Our approach is upstream of these patients finally treated in a large volume primary stroke center and distant from the comprehensive stroke center. We have exhaustively identified all patients who had indications of mechanical thrombectomy, and we followed all these patients to know if they had benefited from the act and in what time frames, and if not, the reason why. Data were collected by mechanical doctors from both primary and comprehensive stroke center in a 3-year prospective registry. For all these patients, we specifically calculated the relevant times from onset of symptoms all the way through the phases to final effective treatment. And the conclusion is that it's dangerously too long.
So what classifications were used when assessing which data was included?
Well, criteria were defined for patient transfer admission in our primary stroke center. Firstly, time from stroke symptom onset below 4.5 hours, or if known, no visible brain lesion on T2 flare sequences on initial MRI. Secondly, NIH stroke scale equal to 8 or more. Thirdly, M1 segment the middle cerebral artery occlusion or basilar artery occlusion. And fourthly, a SPECT score of more than 5 on diffusion weight MRI. And on arrival at the comprehensive stroke center, patients were considered ineligible for mechanical thrombectomy when a new MRI data suggested a low likelihood of clinical improvement according to the emerging criteria described in recent clinical trials. I mean, large ischemic score and poor collateral circulation distal to the occlusion.
So what were the results overall of your research?
According to our experience, with transport time of more than 1.5 hours, few patients are eligible for mechanical thrombectomy. Our transfer protocol for effective mechanical recanalization only to a minority of low progression patients. Thus, we consider that in our setting, most of the patients had an obvious loss of chance in terms of ideal access to mechanical thrombectomy due to uncontrollable factors. Therefore, we believe that geographical considerations and volume of patients are the main reasons advocated to convert a primary stroke center with a large population catchment area into a comprehensive stroke center that can both deliver thrombolysis and practice thrombectomy.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Dr. Denis Sablot from the Centre Hospitalier de Pompignan, Urology in the South of France. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.